Hi, I'm Julia Leewald, one of the writers on X-Men the Animated Series.
And hi, I'm Eric Leewald, showrunner on X-Men the Animated Series.
And you're listening to A Stark Contrast with Jeffrey and I. Catch the new series, X-Men 97, now on streaming.
God.
Yes, and so they're senior consultants on the consulting producer new show.
Oh my gosh.
They're the reason why this is all happening.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Wait.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome back to A Stark Contrast, where we discuss the differences and similarities from Marvel Comics to the MCU counterparts. And we are your hosts, Jeffrey.
And I.
Hello, hello, and welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back,
y'all.
If
you just heard our intro, that was a complete surprise to me. We have a lot of reactions in today's show, apparently. Wow.
Wow.
Dai knows everything.
I'm very good at asking for things. I don't know which one it is, but I will say that I met the Leewalds, years ago,
yeah.
Like maybe 5 or 6 years ago for the first time. Like, they'd always been around, but they were never like, you couldn't stop them. And like, they didn't have like a table. They didn't have any of that stuff going. So when they released this book called Previously on X-Men, which was documenting the entire 1992 series from their perspective, they were more vocal and more open. They're like out and about. They're like really out and about wearing their gear and stuff. And so, you know, over the years, I'd been able to say hi or like actually chat with them. And so that's where I got that thing that I brought to Lenore
sign,
which is the second book, which is the art book, as well as the Night of the Sentinels front page of
the
script.
Episode, yes.
Yeah. So I got all that stuff from them.
Wow.
And so they were nice enough to give us an introduction for this episode.
Oh my gosh.
Fitting enough.
And if you haven't noticed, we are also recording once again.
That's right.
We're resorting to mostly or all mini Marvels being video recorded.
Pretty much.
Because it's so fun.
Yes.
And you get to see stuff, reactions like that.
I totally forgot that we were recording on video. Because I was so excited that I forgot. And I'm like, oh, right. Yeah, we're actually recording as well. So yes, welcome to Mini Marvel number 13, where we talk about the broader Marvel universe and the MCU's hot topics. And more importantly, X-Men 97.
Oh, yeah.
This is the most obnoxious outfit I have. But you know why? It's not because of this. It's because I'm wearing another shirt under it, which somebody gave me for Christmas. It's so ridiculous.
Oh, it's just an all-over print of everybody. Nice.
Yes. Where is he?
Oh, yeah. I mean.
But yeah. I'm never going to wear
this shirt
again. X-Men
97 is just the hot thing right now.
Chef's kiss.
Yeah.
Chef's kiss all around.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so before we get into all that stuff, Jeff.
Hello.
Did you know it's our third anniversary?
Oh my gosh.
It's our third anniversary. So this is year 3, officially.
Of a
Stark Contrast, season 4, so to speak. Because the first season, it was half a season. So it kind of gets muddled. But yeah, this is our year 3,
year. Oh my gosh.
Crazy. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Haven't missed a week.
No, we haven't.
Well, we release every other week, but like we haven't missed
a recording ever.
Anything that goes on in our lives.
I'm so proud of us.
We're still here.
Yay. So speaking of that, I mean, third anniversary. First convention.
Oh yeah, that
WonderCon was last week.
I'm still exhausted.
Like I told Jeff, I was like, Jeff, we're only gonna spend a few hours there. But you are gonna get overwhelmed. There's gonna be a lot going on.
My coworker today, she asked me, she said, oh, how was WonderCon? And I was like, we were there at opening, so it wasn't even that crowded.
Yeah.
But we walked for about 2.5 hours straight.
Right.
And I was tired just off of that.
Yeah. So imagine doing it for longer, for 3 days.
Yeah, no.
It's a lot. But did you enjoy it?
But it is a lot to take in of like when it, like, vendor wise, because like I've been to like even like fashion trade shows. So I like actually even like last year I went to ComplexCon for the first time.
Oh yeah, I've always wanted to go
in
to
Long
that.
Beach. Yeah, and so which is like, you know, mostly like a streetwear, but it's more than that.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously it's people like with a streetwear clothing brand, you know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like in the same vein, but I got through the Long Beach Convention Center pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Like wasn't that crazy?
I feel like it's a little smaller too.
And it's like, and it's like super easy to like, you know, it's like, okay, like, oh, that's cool. Then boom, you just move on.
Yeah.
WonderCon, more or less the same, but obviously bigger.
Yeah.
But it was like, there was an item, a vendor for every little thing you can think of.
Everything.
Yeah. Which was, and it's like very specific niche things. That's where I was like, oh.
Pink unicorn with purple rings in a spam can with frillies. Like, yeah, somebody's got it.
It was just like very specific. Yeah. Plushies, very specific.
Yep.
Shirts, booty shorts.
Booty shorts.
Like, I was like, okay, that's, I guess.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah. Everything. Even if it's not like directly related to comic books or to pop culture, if it's got some vague reference, it's there.
Or even like the comic books.
Yeah.
Like every like comic store. Mm-hmm. I was like, is every like comic book known to man just here?
It's like,
I was like, damn, what? Close. Like, how is
How
is this possible?
Yeah. That's why the load in it's like, you know, you imagine what a production takes, right? You got hours to load in, or you're loading in really early. And so when we're working in the convention floor, like I was telling you, like we get in, like doors open at 11:30.
Yeah.
But all the vendors are there the night before, if not that morning at like 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, loading in and putting everything out. So it's like, it's a whole thing. So imagine that times like five and you get San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, the Funko Pops too. Just so many.
The wall of
Funkos. So many collectibles.
Yes.
And it's like, whoa. Yeah. Like I was telling Daya while we were there, I was like, wow, thank God we are not rich.
Yes, because
I would be
know.
I'd be buying random things that I know I wouldn't
There would
need.
Be signs, yeah.
Yeah, there would be signs.
Exactly. I wouldn't tell anybody. But there would be signs more than there already are.
Yeah, but it was super cool. It was really, it was a nice like foot in the pool type of thing.
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine what San Diego Comic-Con is like.
Dude, I'm waiting for you to get sent for work so that you can just at least like see how it goes and then just leave.
Man. Yeah.
Because it's a lot. It's a lot. And the thing again about San Diego is that outside
is it there's even more stuff.
There's even more stuff. Like there's so many activations. Like they had a Pop-Tart tasting.
Wait.
And a full did you not know about this?
No.
Full on Kellogg's or whoever the company is had a Pop-Tart tasting. And so if you got in, and it's complimentary. It's all complimentary.
Yeah.
If you waited in that line, I had a friend who waited in line for dead ass six, like 4 hours.
Wow.
And so he got in, and they sit you at a banquet style table. They have the treat silver platter. The waiters bring in the thing, and they're all different types of Pop-Tarts served different ways.
My gosh.
At the end of the experience, the payoff is that you got this shiny limited edition Pop-Tart figurine and a goodie bag. And so, of course, you know, like some folks who do that stuff, they automatically flip it. The Pop-Tart was going for $500.
That's crazy.
By the end of the day. So it's stuff like that. And then Cartoon Network has this gigantic activation. And
of course.
The studios have activations.
A lot of big studios or whatever have activations there.
It's like the one from the year before last where it was Marvel had the Papa's Pizza cart for Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah.
Super tiny, but I mean, it was still something.
I didn't
see
that many like activations at WonderCon.
No, not at all. It's very different, but it's a baby sister of it. So it's interesting. But shout out to Ronin Unchained and Mystic Mort that we ran into at the show. It's good to see you guys. And then also we ran into someone else that we're very familiar with.
Yes, we are.
And I had the opportunity to introduce Jeffrey to Ms. Lenore Zan, Rogue herself. And in case you missed it, she did the introduction for our Rogue episode, which is now streaming with the added dialogue. So if you didn't hear it, we're going to drop it in right here.
Well, hey there, y'all. This here is Lenore Zan, a.k.a. Rogue of the X-Men. And you are listening to A Stark Contrast with Jeffrey and Di. So don't touch that dial. And hey, check out X-Men 97, sugar.
That's so cool.
She's so cool.
That is so cool.
She herself as a person is so warm.
Yeah.
And so like inviting in a way. And she's just very sweet and is more than willing to talk about anything, but especially X-Men, which is like something that I love about her. And like, I think I told you, but the last time that she had come to WonderCon was when the OG X-Men all came out. Not all of them, but a lot of them came out, like five or six of them. And I wanted so badly to get the signature and the autograph, the picture and all that stuff with her. But when you times it times five or six people, and they're all, it's like all $80, $100 a pop. I was like, ooh, I got to pick. Mama's got to pick. So I picked Gambit, because of course. But it was nice to be able to talk to her like one-on-one and then have her be like, was it okay? It's like, oh my God, you're perfect. The fact that she asked us,
I know,
was it okay? I was like, you're perfect. Like, what are you talking about?
She was really the sweetest, meeting her for the first time.
Yeah.
And be able to like talk and chat with her for as long as we did.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. She was like very like accommodating.
Yeah, I guess.
And it was like, oh my gosh.
Like this is Rogue.
Yeah.
Like,
you
think about it, like this is Rogue.
Yeah.
She's been Rogue for more than 30 years now, officially.
Insane.
Like 32 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Insane. She's the greatest.
Yeah. She's the greatest. So thank you, Ms. Lenore.
So I can finally say I've met an X-Men.
Yes, you have. And you can. And then last but not least, as far as the random news goes, because we're going to dive into some Marvel Universe stuff and then X-Men 97 specifically after. I wanted to shout out to Becky Cloonan. So BeckyCloonan.net is officially live. She is known throughout the comic industry for a number of things. She's done Marvel books as well, which included Victor Von Doom, The Punisher, and more. But I helped set her store. So I put her store together and threw up a bunch of original art that she did with Tula Lote for Somna. Super spicy book. Super spicy. So we sold a good amount of them this morning. If you haven't yet, check it out. Give her a look and give her some hits. But go if you like Somna or you want to support Becky, visit BeckyCloonan.net and then check it out. And so with that, we'll roll into the Marvel Universe news. So I was chronicling my journey trying to get D23 tickets.
This is true.
And this is insane because this always happens with Disney stuff. So San Diego is one thing.
Yeah.
The hotel apocalypse is another thing. But like specifically, when it comes to Disney specifically, it's another beast entirely. Because every time, whether it's Magic Keys, whether it's D23 or even Oogie Boogie Bash for Halloween.
Not the Oogie Boogie Bash.
Yes. The queue always putzes out. And so, like, I didn't get it the first preview round, but I was able to get a day ticket. I, like, decided to only do a Friday ticket. I was I only really want to see the entertainment stuff. But even then, it's like, I didn't get that ticket. I got a ticket to go to the convention center, but not the Honda Center. So, Godspeed if anybody else got them, because it was not a lucky day for me. So I'm gonna try again in August, hopefully get one there. I don't know, who knows. So Godspeed to anybody else who is looking to see maybe some footage from Captain America 4 or Thunderbolts for that matter.
Yeah,
because if they're gonna do it, I feel like they're gonna skip San Diego and they're gonna do it there.
I mean, you might as well do it at your home base type of thing. Yeah,
exactly right. So yeah, good luck to anybody who got tickets, because I sure didn't, not entirely at least. And then today, Jeff mentioned, as he like quite literally put his bags down, some insane news out of the MCU. Julia Garner has officially joined the cast of Fantastic Four as Shala Baal, Immortal Empress of Zen-La and the lover of Norrin Rad, aka the Silver Surfer.
I know. I was like, oh, they're just...
It's very interesting. Well, you remember a few months ago, they were like, oh, Anya Taylor-Joy is going to be Silver Surfer. And everyone was like, what?
Oh.
Right?
I don't think I saw that.
Oh, you didn't?
I don't.
It was a huge stink.
Okay.
Because the first immediate reaction, of course, why is she a girl?
Well, there is a female Silver
but
Surfer.
But there is. There is a female Silver Surfer. And in this case, they have actually named her at this point Shala Ball. So this might be the role that Enya was up for. And then
maybe
she just didn't get it.
Yeah.
Or she wasn't available. And so they gave it to Julie Garner. Because I'm hoping that she'll just come back as magic.
Well, there's going to... Well, when that movie comes out and we do an episode, it's going to be... what could have been?
What could have been, right? Yeah, exactly right. Like who else like was in the cast? But yeah, it's gonna be interesting. I stand firm that like I think that people are obviously reacting too hot to like for this news that's so shallow. Like you don't know anything more than she's been cast a Silver Surfer.
I mean, they are filming soon. I think towards the end of the year.
Yeah. So I don't know. I still feel confident that they're actually gonna have Norrin Radd in the film.
I and heard she's it's there going. Too. I heard it's going to be a Galactus deal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I watch. I see all the rumors and the leaks. Yeah. I'm that guy.
Exactly. So we'll see. We'll see. And speaking of leaks, there are pictures of Daredevil popping up all over the place.
It's not even that just pictured. It's full on.
They're full on like coverage. Like Variety did one too.
Well, yeah. Oh yeah. Like John Bernthal also posted the photo. It was of him, Karen, and
it's funny
and Charlie.
Because I think I forgot who had posted it. It was April Fool's, and so I was like, "That's an old picture." Like I didn't believe it, and I was like, "Oh, it's real. Oh, it's really happening. Oh shoot,
it is very real.
I'm so excited.
Everyone's back.
Yes. we'll see to what extent, but they looked very bloody. He looked very bloody. And
as long as they keep a TV, MA, we're all good.
Daredevil looked amazing as usual. So super stoked. And then speaking of Team Red, a surprise to no one, Ryan Reynolds and his Aviation American Gin are releasing a Deadpool exclusive limited edition. So if you want some of that, it's about $30. It's not bad.
It's not bad.
I was like,
I just don't like gin.
Yeah, it's grown on me just because
I haven't had like a solid gin cocktail that I like because I think one of the first times I drank gin.
Yeah.
I drank it straight. I was also, mind you, it was also like, it was like in Vegas and it was like 2 and 3 in the morning.
That says everything.
Definitely should have been back at our hotel room at the time, but whatever, we partied. And then when, like one of these like random guys was like, do you want it?
Yeah.
You want some gin? I was like, I'll just put it in a cup. I'll just drink. I'll sip from it straight.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God.
I know so few people who do that.
Like, I know.
Everyone else like mixes
so
it.
I'm so used to it with like tequila or whiskey. For sure.
Yeah.
And then with gin, I was like, oh, it felt like I was like sipping lighter fluid.
Yes.
I was like, oh, what is this?
And so have you had Aviation before? I have not. I don't think I
can't
have.
Recall a time I have.
Yeah.
Maybe I had it in a mixed drink randomly.
Sure. Yeah.
But I don't know.
Okay. Well, I'm going to buy a bottle because it's Deadpool. So
we will
can
try it. On,
we can.
On the show.
On the show. Maybe because I've been, I mean.
Maybe the next mini Marvel that we record.
Yeah. Well, because it's for pre-order. So I'm trying to figure out when it arrives. It might actually be here in the next mini Marvel.
We'll see.
But like, I've been dying to do like a Hot Wings like version of this show.
Oh gosh.
I would peter out first round, I promise you, but it'll be very entertaining.
But the basis of it would be like just you asking me pop quiz questions.
Yes. Well, eating
but then
hot
I would
wings.
Just like get every single one wrong.
It'd be so fun. Oh, it'd be so great. So yeah, so maybe we'll do that for the next one. But yes. Oh, and then last but not least, as far as MCU news goes, first look at Thunderbolts.
I know. I was very surprised. I was very surprised at how revealing it was.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, maybe she's going to stop recording when she gets in the studio. And then she did it.
And then
and
she like panned out. She's like, I can't, I guess I can show you this. And
I know
like,
exactly where she was. She was at the mobile editing bay.
Oh, is that right?
That's why when she shared that still.
Sure.
Like it was like, oh.
Yeah, because the dude was
yeah,
like.
Yeah, he was editing. Yeah. And I was like,
holy.
I was like, wait. I almost looked away because I was like, wait, should we be.
I know.
Should we see?
Like, I was like, does she know she's like live? I'm posting this right now.
And
like,
and the director, he was, and then she asked the director, she was like, "Should I be? Can I show this right now?" And he was like, "Probably not, but you know."
What is your authenticity rating on that? Do you think he was for real, or do you think he was like playing?
I think it was. I feel like that's way too planned for.
You think? Oh wow!
I think it was.
They did
like,
really well then.
I don't think it was like. Like, How do I say this? Like, I don't think Flo is in her trailer and was like, oh, let me just pull out my phone and start recording myself yes. and then walk into the studio. Right. But she knows the Marvel deal. Yeah. Like, she knows not to, like, sure. leak anything.
Yeah.
So I feel like because not really much of Thunderbolts has really
nothing
come out.
Yeah.
Like, the most we have is... The most that we've had was like Steven Yeun like dropping out, those rumors and that concept art.
Yeah.
So, that was probably just like, all right, let's just, you know, oh, hey, Flo, like,
let's go.
Let's just do this.
Yeah.
And why do you think the editor would never hit play?
Right. That's very true.
He just left that still on there. I was like, okay, we can show this.
Yeah.
And then people can just guess where... where she is
exactly.
So,
right. Yeah,
I think
Which
it was
people
like
did. People I, did.
Yeah, but I wonder if like what was it just like done on the spot type of thing, like on the set
where like, hey, let's
like,
do
where,
this.
Like a, where like a Disney whatever like marketer exec was like,
yeah.
I was like, what if we just did this? Let's try it out, and then Flo would be like, was like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
They pulled it off because that thing got so many hits immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately, and it was immediately reshared, and I like had that moment where I was like, should we reshare this?
I know,
are we gonna get in trouble too if she gets in trouble?
Yeah, because like, it was on her page first.
Yeah.
And then Marvel was
of
like,
course
like and then it was fine. They were like, here's Florence Pugh showing you something she definitely shouldn't be showing.
Yeah, exactly. Which is the great tagline, right? Like, they're really leaning into it. So I'm super stoked. That definitely like satiated the thirst for like just a little thing from Thunderbolts, especially because they're doing close set stuff,
which
I'm glad about.
Because come Deadpool Wolverine, I think like the motor of the MCU is going to go again.
Oh, yeah.
Because they took like a hard
reset.
It's
like hibernating.
Yeah. So like once Deadpool Wolverine comes out, they're just going to keep it going because they have that in July.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what the next movie is.
It's supposed to be Captain America.
I don't know if there's a I don't know if there's a fall movie coming out.
No,
I forget.
I don't think so.
But once Deadpool
series,
Agatha
or something.
But once Deadpool and Wolverine comes out, and I think people are already expecting that's going to be like amazing.
Yeah.
So it's just the MCU
can't really fail.
Yeah, the MCU ball is just going to keep rolling. So
yeah. No, for real. Exciting. Yeah, super super stoked. I'm glad that we finally got something out of that corner of the MCU. I was going to say MCU world, and I was like, wait, that's not right.
The universe, but there's
the
universe
MCU,
in MCU.
Universe. Yeah, exactly. It's like chai tea. So onto our main topic of the episode. So X-Men 97.
Woo!
So Jeff is really diving in officially. Still has not yet finished the original series, however.
I watched a couple episodes, but I also did watch a YouTube video of, it was like a 30-minute video.
Of what?
Of the recap.
Of highlights?
Of all the seasons.
That's
and stuff.
Cool.
And I want to say, damn, it was all over the place. Like, it was a lot. It covered
a lot. It's a lot. You kind of mentioned this, I think, in our Beast episode, where you were just like, it was more than you anticipated, because like the stories are actually quite in depth, like they're actually quite mature. Like,
yeah.
I didn't want to say adult because that skews differently,
but
it is quite mature for a cartoon, you know.
Yeah,
if you
it hits
will.
A lot of topics.
I
just put it on the back. I think the last episode I saw of the original, it was Beast was being tried. He was in jail.
Nina
tries to break him out, and he's like, "What if we want to be what the humans are? I'm gonna stand trial." And Magneto is just like,
his glasses.
"Whatever, Beast. They don't care about us. Bow to the mutant king." But then I was like, "Dang, there's so much.
There's a lot." And again, you've just started.
Yeah.
And there's only, I say only because they are quick, they're 20 minutes or whatever, but they're only 5 seasons, and
but it's a lot of episodes.
It is,
it's like
it is,
60 plus episodes.
Yeah And I think even season 2 or 3 goes into 20, like, because they cover the Dark Phoenix saga, as well as Dark Phoenix saga.
That. yes
And so it's a lot of content, but it is very manageable because you can probably burn through a bunch of episodes without even realizing it. But the one that the part of it that makes you realize that you're watching multiple episodes is because that intro song that no one on the planet skips.
Yeah.
yeah, ever.
I don't. I do
so
not.
That's an easy
I
way
watch
to
it.
Yeah, that's an easy way to remember, like, oh right, I'm watching another episode. But like, speaking of intro songs, so let's like dive into 97 a bit. And so yeah, this was my first concern. Because, you know, I'm starting to talk to more friends about it who are finally catching up and realizing, oh, I should be watching the show because I watched the original.
Yeah.
Or they're making time for it. And so I said to a friend very recently, I said, yeah, you know, I was worried. Like, not worried to the point of like, oh, it's going to be awful.
Just skeptical.
Just kind of very skeptical that, yeah, like, is it going to be as strong? Like, is anything really going to live up to that potential of 92? But the minute that the intro song started, and they kind of got me, because like the little Marvel animation like opener, I was like, oh, they're changing the song entirely because it didn't sound like it at first. But then they go into it.
Yeah, because during the Marvel animation logo, yeah, it's the MCU theme.
Yes.
In X-Men 97 like,
yes,
tone.
Yeah.
But then,
yeah,
it,
yeah,
goes straight into like into the it's like dun, literally dun, the dun, exact dun, same dun, song. Dun,
dun. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then on top of that, to double down and then have a revamp redraw of the original.
That's
what opening.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. I was like, did they just modernize this?
Yes.
But it's the same thing, because I was like, well, Cyclops, yeah, doesn't look like that anymore.
Yeah.
So I was
like, you know, and it, well, it's interesting because like it like again, immediately I started bawling. I was like, oh my God, like, what is this? But also they did change it up enough that it wasn't a full departure from the OG, but it was a little different. Like, I believe in the original, Cyclops is standing. But in this one, he's on his knees like, God, why? Why is a planet coming out of my eyeballs?
Yeah.
But like small changes like that. And then of course the one that people are talking about as of like today is that Jean Grey, mm-hmm, like the first three episodes, she had her hair down. And it, of course, we come to know that it's not Jean Grey. But then in today's episode, her ponytail is back, which is the iconic Jean Grey, because it's actually Jean Grey. Yeah. And so things like that. And then, you know, you'll realize this. I mean, well, you probably see it already, because the original opening didn't, I correct me if I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure it never changed. It was always the same. So they didn't do what the new one is doing, where they're remixing the cut yeah, scenes that they're showing. And so they're remixing them where they're putting different characters in.
Mm.
And so, for instance, the part where it shows like Roberto running up to the...
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's originally Jubilee, like you've probably seen already. Yeah, and so they're changing it up. They added Morph, like I said before, I think, yep, in our Rogue episode. Bishop comes in sometimes. Professor, yep, X is there. Like, yep, once or twice, but that's it. But yeah, all the scenes that they're showing are kind of amazing. Like today's, I paused it a few times and had to rewind. I was like, what are they putting in? Because they put Lalandra and Professor X. And that's kind of a callback to the final season of the original one, because, mm-hmm, he goes to space, and the Dark Phoenix stuff was really, they're filling in the gaps.
Yeah.
So you don't need to see it again.
Yeah.
Just in this flicker of like, oh, this is what's happened. This was previously on X-Men. Which, yeah, you know, by the way, we have a reel up of the cast reciting the line on our YouTube, yeah, and social media.
Go and click and watch that.
It's really fun. Previously on X-Men.
That was really cool.
So good. So, yeah, all those callbacks and then the homages to the 90s in general. I'm still waiting for a Pizza Hut one. I don't know if there'll be one, but but like the date court one or whatever for today's episode. And they did a bunch of homages to 90s TV shows, which is pretty amazing. But yeah, so let's like go back a little bit, chat about the first couple of episodes. I mean, we did a bunch. Again, we did talk about this in full with our Rogue and Beast episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like what did you like most about the first two? How did you feel when you first watched it? Like, all that good
stuff. I was just taking it all in, and like, one, I think the most I knew was Professor X died.
Yeah,
that was literally probably all I knew, yeah, from X-Men 92.
Well, let me I'm gonna try my best to not do this in an annoying way. So he doesn't actually die. They never give him a conclusive death in the first one,
of course.
So he gets very ill,
yeah,
definitely ill, and then he just goes to space.
And that's it. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
He just goes away.
Oh, okay.
And then
he's not dead.
Yeah. But in the beginning of episode one is where they clarify on the TV,
yeah,
that 1 year ago, Professor Charles Xavier was assassinated by the Friends of whatever it was.
The Friends of Humanity?
Yeah, I guess so. I'm not sure if they identified it was FOH, but that's the first moment we're like immediately introduced, like, oh, by the way, Professor X is dead now. Like, he didn't even die the way we thought he did.
Or is that just the cover up?
Exactly. Shapeshifters. Whoa.
But yeah, it was really interesting.
It's true.
And I love how it kind of just goes straight into it.
Yeah.
They set up all these like prior relationships, mm-hmm. the team.
Yep.
What is it? It's Scott and Jean having a baby.
Yeah.
Jean.
When I saw the group of Jean cosplayers and then Cyclops, I just started screaming, Jean,
come to me, Jean. And it just goes straight into like a fight, like it's into action.
Cyclops' best fight ever.
Yeah. First episode, yes. You know, Magneto. Oh, that's episode two. Right?
That's episode two. Yeah.
But it's pretty easy to follow. Like, I didn't run. I didn't watch the original. Mm-hmm. So I don't really know any of these lingering storylines. I just know basic things about the lore.
Yeah.
So, oh yeah, I know Cyclops and Jean are a thing. Da, mm-hmm. da, and, you know, and who is people's powers. That's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was pretty easy to follow along. The writing is amazing. I will say that.
So good.
Animation's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I enjoyed it a lot.
Do you have an immediate bias? Do you have a favorite?
A favorite?
Damn. Or does it jump?
You know what? What? You're going to like this. I really like Gambit.
Ooh! Yeah. See? I told you!
Yeah. I was like I mean, he just has a charm to him.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, there's just something about, like, he's almost positioned that you're supposed to dislike him.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you're supposed to be like, no, Magneto. But there's something to him that you're like, okay, he's cool. He is kind of a dumbass, but he's also incredibly charming. And also there's a humility to him that he like knows when he's.
Yeah. You just want to root for the guy.
He's great.
And then so when the whole Rogue Magneto thing was happening, there was a split second where I was like, cheater.
Everybody.
And I was like, how dare you?
Cheater. Welcome up, Jader. Especially with the episode 2-1 reveal at the end with Rogue and Magneto, and then he's like around the corner, like teary eyed. I was like,
Magneto's also like 67.
Yeah, like technically 67. If we're talking even 1997,
he's at retiring age.
Yeah,
and Rogue looks at least 30.
At least, at most, either way. Yeah.
Well, it's weird.
I'm glad you say that because like when we were speaking with Lenore at WonderCon, I even said to her, I said, you know, it dawned on me not too long ago, like as in the last 2 weeks, that Jeff has zero context of why I'm in love with Gambit. But now you get it. And now he might be your favorite. It's my favorite day ever.
When we met Lenore, like, obviously it was my first time meeting her. There was a part of me deep down that really wanted to say, how dare you?
Really? You know, I could kind of feel it. I was like, I think he wants to be like, so what's going on with Magneto?
Yeah, because when I brought up that, Dyes really loves Gambit.
Yeah.
But after I said that, I really wanted to be like, how dare you? But I was just like, this is not the time to do it.
That's so funny. Yeah. So now you've gotten a taste of why I do love him. And he is extraordinarily powerful.
Yeah.
But I noticed that they're really pulling him back for whatever reason. They've pulled him back a bit.
Yeah. He might come up though.
Oh, he's going to come back.
Yeah, later in the season. It's going to be,
I think he's going to save her, or they're going to save each other. Something incredible.
She has to make a decision.
Of course.
Yeah.
Or she's going to be like, what are you talking about? It's been you the entire time. And he's going to be like,
How funny would it have been though, if like, at the panel when you saw all of them,
yeah.
there was someone that came in with a sign that said,
cheater?
Welcome home, cheater.
I wish I had thought of it. I definitely would have held it up. And she was throwing the sass. I don't know if you saw this other video. I wish I had actually posted it on the podcast. But yeah, like, you know, they were asking the cast, the new cast, like, hey, how did your audition process go? How do you feel about this? And I recorded AJ's, and that he was like, yeah, you know, like, I grew up with X-Men and Gambit was my favorite. I cosplayed as Gambit in high school and now I'm voicing Gambit. And he was like, yeah, you know, I'm still wrapping my head around it. And, you know, I'm trying to absorb it all. I don't think I ever will. And then she says, I'll absorb it for you, sugar. Everybody lost it.
Wow.
And she kept throwing hits. Like, she was so good that entire
panel.
What
did Magneto say?
Magneto would just, like, he did what Magneto does. He would sit there and he'd be like,
just snark, yeah.
Yes! I was like, wow. Oh my God, Matthew Watterson. Yeah, and of course, AJ was very Gambit-like in that he was like the kicked puppy, so he'd be like, and I'm like, oh, but it was very fun, and they're clearly running with the memes. Like,
yeah,
we talked
it's
about
so
this before
funny.
Recording.
Yeah, those memes are hilarious.
They're so top tier, and like the picture of them at the table after.
That's so that was so good.
So Lenore is living her best life. I love this for her so much. So that leads us up to episode 3. So these ones we'll talk a little bit more in depth about because, yeah, again, we talked about 1 and 2 in our Rogue and Beast episodes, respectively. So in episode 3, so at the end of episode 2, we left off with Jean doing what Jean does best, and that's fainting.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, I need the X-Men. And
you're kind of like,
yeah.
What?
So I don't remember. I know that I guessed that the one with the earrings was definitely not Jean. I don't remember what you said.
I was just like, well, I think, I don't know what I assumed, but I was just like,
yeah.
What's going on? Because I don't know this lore.
Yeah.
And
But then I assumed,
like, the one that came fainting at the door, I was like, and that's got to be the real Jean.
Interesting.
You know?
They definitely had me, like, thinking again, like, wait.
Like, is that?
Is it?
Yeah.
Though? Or is it not? And very quickly, so Beast does the DNA testing, and he says a bunch of jargon that nobody understands.
Sure.
And then I forgot who said it. Was it Jubilee or somebody was just like, can you say that in like X-Men terms or something?
Like, can you say that in English?
English, yeah. He reveals, which is also a meme too. Did you see all those memes?
Which one? The
people reacted to how quickly he threw Madeline under the bus.
Oh.
He just immediately saw the results and was like, oh, you are not Jean. Like, he didn't even try to play it off. He was like, you're the imposter. And
yeah.
And so, yes, he immediately, like, you know, calls her out. And of course, even if you don't know the lore, they played it well because, you know, again, this is not a direct homage.
Yeah.
Like, it's taking nuances from this Inferno storyline. So Madeline herself was not aware that she was a clone. So
she just knows,
what are you talking
she
about?
She just knows she's Jean Grey.
Yeah, she's like,
and has her memories.
Exactly right. And she's like, I am Jean. I don't understand. And so it really scorned her in that way, and that's what, you know, ultimately leads her further into the powers of Mr. Sinister, who finally makes his debut, also the original actor from the original series.
Yeah.
So incredible. Is it Chris Britton, I think?
Something
Chris Britton,
like that, yeah.
So it's him again, which is so insane to me because, yes, he has a very iconic voice as well, and they kind of add this weird texture to it, which makes him so, like,
yeah. And it's like also like continuing the story from that original.
Exactly.
And I was just like, oh.
He is, if you know nothing more about Mr. Sinister, he is quite literally obsessed with the Summers Gray family, or the Gray Summers family.
Yeah.
And so Madeline, or at least Jean 2, plays into it very perfectly, especially for the series because she's pregnant and all that good stuff. So he's like, aha, baby.
Mine. He was like, yes.
Yes, DNA.
A human that has both.
Exactly.
Scott Summers and Jean Grey's DNA.
Exactly.
I will use that baby to take over the world.
The world. Yeah. And so, of course, this gives us the amazing transformation scene we officially get from Madeline Pryor, or at least Jean, into the Goblin Queen, which is indeed a direct homage to the 1992-95 series of Sailor Moon, which is a big deal for me. So I was like,
it's
wow.
Like your worlds are just colliding.
And so yeah, Madeline has this transformation scene that is very much like Sailor Moon herself. And so, you know, all the 90s babies, we're all celebrating. We're just like, dude, that's Sailor Moon. That's crazy. Yeah, and so we have never seen Goblin Queen until now. So this has been, you know, and she came, what, early 80s? 80s-ish? So all this time, we've never had the character in a pop culture setting.
They're just giving us everything, huh?
Quite honestly, yeah. I was just talking to Rico last night about it because he had mentioned he finally got around to watching it. And I was like, dude, I honestly never thought we would be in an era where we would see the Goblin Queen in pop culture like that. You know, never. Like, I already wrote off on screen. I was too complicated. Yeah. They won't ever do that, will they? But to see her in cartoon form and actually more than just a cameo is like amazing to me. Like, straight up three episodes worth is great. I'll take it. And so yeah, I wrote here, serving. She's amazing. And then like her scene against Magneto, for instance.
Yeah, that was pretty. I was like, wow, they're so really good. They're when
yeah.
I will say animation's really hard. And having animated fights, like how they've shown so far.
Yes.
I'm like, this had to have been difficult. And like amazing fights every time.
Yeah. And that, like, so the ones that really stand out to me just off the cuff, Cyclops' first one in the warehouse, because like we mentioned before off mic, like, who was it? The producer or somebody mentioned like this was... somebody mentioned that it was the first time you really get to see the depth of Scott Summers' powers of Cyclops, and they used it correctly.
Yes,
because he was pushing himself off of things.
Because he does not have lasers in his eyes.
Exactly right.
It is, which is a crazy thing. It's like a concussive force.
Yes.
Powers.
Yes.
From another dimension.
Yes.
And I'm like,
it's a portal.
It's all in his eyes?
Yes.
That is weird. But yes. I mean, hey.
Yeah.
More power to you.
Literally. And so that one, the X-Men versus the Sentinels, of course. Like, the fact that like Rogue was like 1-2 and then did the wrestling move where she like lunged and then pulled them down. I was like, get out of here. Dude. Like that. That animation,
like, what a way to set the tone.
Sick. Yeah, absolutely sick. And then, of course, this new fight, this newer fight with Magneto versus Goblin Queen, which, again, next level. Like, the animation's already good, but you can tell that there's this extra layer of love and the frame rate is going insane.
Yeah.
Because, like, Magneto's doing what he thinks is, like, I'm going to crush things and scare people. Yes. And she's like, actually, you're only metal. I can do anything. And so the way that she came in and that very specific of her, like, frame scene of part of her like diving and then she like does some maneuver and then comes up. It's the animation's sensational. Like, I don't know who did it, but kudos to that animator.
It's great. And I get excited for every single episode.
Yes. And then of course, meanwhile, Sinister was experimenting on baby Nathan, which was kind of sad and depressing.
Yeah, I was like,
I don't know what it was about it. I guess it was the baby noises.
It's just, it's seeing a baby in like a vat of just acid.
I know. And like crying and wanting its daddy and mommy. It's so sad. And so he's infected. He begins to get infected, which is known in the comics as the techno-organic virus. So this is a big thing. They also refer to it as the technovirus, but it's defined as a growing organism that converts living or once living tissue into animate technology, ultimately consuming its host entirely. So
that sounds disgusting.
It's wild. So I'm trying to figure out, it's not a spoiler, it's been like 30 years. In the comics, there are twins.
Okay.
There's Nathaniel and there's what was I saying? Strife.
Okay.
So they are twins. One of them gets the virus, the other one is more or less perfect. Not perfect, but a better specimen. And so Cable is who this baby grows into.
Yes.
And they were able to stop it kind of from actually taking over his body. So that's why, like, let's reference, we can actually talk about Josh Brolin now. We referenced Josh Brolin's Cable.
Yeah.
That's why he has the metal. Arm. Yeah, because quite literally half of his body is consumed by the techno-organic virus. Oh,
that's why
And that's why the eye, it's all because of this derivative of this virus.
Yeah.
And so, canonically, the only way to kind of subdue the virus is by telekinesis, because telekinesis can quite literally just stop it from moving. It doesn't advance. It doesn't mutate.
Yeah.
And so, thankfully, he inherited his parents' genes, and so he has telekinesis, and he can stop it. But there is this whole arc, two or three arcs even, where they talk about this virus specifically and how to get rid of it, because it does play a bigger part in the bigger picture. Yeah. So knowing that Cable is coming into the show and that Cable will have a pretty significant part, enough for the original Gambit to play him.
That's right.
Yes. So Chris Potter will be playing my desires are seeping through.
Rip.
Chris Potter will be portraying Cable. So we will get to see and get some explanation of how this affects the baby in the show.
Yeah. I'm excited for when that episode comes.
Yes. Because
last we see it, that is Jean sending her baby.
And it was Jean, right? I don't remember.
Yes.
I want to believe it's Jean. Yes, no, it Madeline, was, right? She had left by that point.
Because, yeah.
Okay.
And then they had this, like, they were trying to save the baby. And,
yes.
And Scott. That's when Scott was like, I won't abandon my son.
The other
and then he leaves.
I know. He won't be my father. I won't abandon my son. And then he just walks down and he's like, I can't do this.
And then he walked out.
It's like, Scott, that was 4.5 seconds. Like, what are you doing?
He's like, I will not abandon my son. Leaves.
Cyclops has left the chat. Yeah, it was really sad though, for what it was worth. Like, yeah. I got it, but I did have that moment of like, but he just left.
Yeah, well, I think the intention was there, because he was like, I can't, like, not, yeah. I don't want to not go with my son.
Exactly.
But Bishop was like, I only have enough for me and him.
Yeah, it's enough juice for one of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so that's the last we saw. They go through a time portal.
The time portal.
And we will see where they find the cure.
The cure.
So.
Or lack thereof.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, during all of this, Storm is dealing with her power loss, and then she meets man named Forge. So,
which leads us into the episode that released today, that we are recording the day of.
So do you know anything about Forge aside what they've officially
did, but then like the more I watched that, I was like, I don't think I do.
He pops up quite a bit in the original series too.
Okay.
A little bit. And so he is exactly what he mentioned. He is a mutant that has the capability of creating anything.
Yeah. Okay.
He puts Tony Stark to shame. You know what I mean? Like, that's he's incredibly talented. When I was watching the
episode today, I was like, damn.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Anything. Literally, he is the MacGyver of the X-Men world. And he can fix, he can create anything and get all these issues resolved. And so hopefully he will, if it does follow the comic book lore, he's on his way to doing it. Because spoiler alert, all of what they mention in this latest episode happens in the comics. Every bit of it.
Oh, so him and Storm?
Yes.
They're a thing?
They're an OTP.
Wow.
Yeah,
what's an OTP? Sorry.
One true pairing.
Ah.
Yeah, so they're one of the, like, if you were to put, I'm sure it exists somewhere, top 10 X-Men romances, they're up there. They're way up there. And so I can't remember who was there. One of the producers of the show who was at the panel at WonderCon did mention, because like somebody asked, so who's your favorite ship? And you know, just to spice things up against, you know, Gambit, Rogue, and Magneto. But the producer was like, actually, you know what? Forge and Storm. And I was like, yes, actually, because they're an old school couple from the comics that I think is overlooked quite often. And so Forge himself is like this Native American of Cherokee, I believe, descent. Mm-hmm. And so they have this interesting synergy between them, because like you see in the show, like he is definitely trying to help her with his ways, and he believes in mysticism and all that good stuff. But also, yes, he is also, unfortunately, part of the reason she doesn't even have powers.
Because he helped
create. Created it. Yeah. So now he feels like he has to get her out of it. But of course, there's this other spirit demon thing coming after them. The adversary. So
I have no idea what the...
Yeah. My first thought was that it was the Shadow King, because it's always... The way people talk about Mephisto in the MCU, I think it's Shadow King in the X-Men. I always think it's Shadow King. I'm like, if it's something I can't explain, it's the Shadow King. But it's not. It's this other thing called the Adversary, which is a spirit, and it's a callback to Uncanny X-Men in the 80s, specifically X-Men 188.
Okay.
And so Forge made his first appearance 4 issues before that. So this is exactly... like it's following
it's
course.
Like it's being pulled directly.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah. And then of course, like beyond that, the lighter side of the episode.
Yeah. I was like, oh, we're getting two episodes in this.
Yeah, exactly. Is Jubilee's 18th birthday. And so she's hanging out with Roberto a lot more. That's for sure. And then this arcade thing. I love that this whole thing of like, first off, can we just say, it is interesting how little Wolverine is in this series.
As of right now. Yeah.
Like, he's got moments, but like this episode, he had like one line.
Did he?
Yeah. And all he said was like, whatever the kid wants to. Like,
oh, that's
yeah,
right.
He like said one line.
Yeah.
But yeah, he hasn't been very much in it. And when he's there, he does have like a presence, like the he's here or she's here. And then he's like, who, Apocalypse? You know, like stuff like that. But he really hasn't been, because, you know, totally, and you'll start to see it. The X-Men's 92 series had its moment very similar to the Hugh Jackman, where it's like 80% Wolverine skewing. And then everybody else just gets thrown aside. So it is nice to see that everyone's
getting
finally,
their own. Yeah. Especially Jubilee.
Exactly. Right. Because, you know, she was just kind of a side piece after the first two episodes. Mm-hmm. She's just kind of in the background. But yeah, you know, the she gets some of the best lines, by the way. Do you remember? Everybody seems to be laughing about this. It's like, listen up, small fry. I'm the Big Mac now. I was like,
yes.
What is that?
Yes.
Incredible.
Oh, because Roberto was like, he was like, oh, well, I mean, Genosha being part of the UN is pretty important. And she's like, a small fry.
Yeah, there we go.
In a meal, and I'm the Big Mac.
Yeah,
and
I was like,
damn.
It's so good. And then also, like, you know, what did she say? Like, okay, that's all great. But first of all, tell us everything, or whatever she said.
He's like, oh, okay, we're stuck here. But first, can you tell me
everything? Can you explain everything? Yeah, so good. And so Holly Cho is like amazing, 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 amazing. And so, yeah, they get sucked into this Motendo world, which is funny because the cartridge. Do you know about the cartridge?
No.
So the cartridge, it's funny because it's on a Nintendo 64.
Yes.
So it's modeled after a 64.
Yes.
But the cartridge is a game that was a Sega Genesis, I believe, only Sega Genesis game from 1993 or 4.
Uh-huh.
It was a hard game. I loved that game, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it was an actual game. But the rest of it doesn't look anything like the one that's in the episode. Of course, the one in the episode, I feel, follows the classic one that's the huge joystick one with 8 characters.
Yes.
And so I was like, I want this game. Like, I don't even care if it's just Roberto and Jubilee, but like, I would love this game.
Yeah, I agree.
And now you get the Mojo, because remember I was talking about Mojo and I was like, Jeff, I love him. I would love to see him in live action. He's really crazy and he's fat.
So well, he was skinny.
He was skinny.
And then he got fat.
He got nip
tucked. But he was also in the... Yeah. He was also in the original. So yes. I remember that part in the recap.
Yes.
And I was like, oh.
He's got the craziest voice. Yeah, I love Mojo. I mean, I don't love him in like an affectionate way, but I do love him because he's so chaotic.
Yes.
And I love the concept of there being an entire planet dimension where entertainment is all they know.
Yeah, so I was like, when I was watching the recap and they got to that point, they were like, oh, where his whole being is based off reviews and critics and ratings and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was like, it's like a subtle nod to like, it's like a subtle punch to like actual executives.
Yeah.
Because that's all you care about, no matter what's like good
what's
or
at
not.
Stake. Yeah. The loss, the heartbreak, what have you. They're like, yo, it makes the ratings go up. And it's like, yeah, but at what cost?
Yes.
And so that's really the greatness of Mojo and Mojo World, for that matter. And so I don't know if they cover it too heavily. I think Longshot is definitely in one of the episodes. And so I think it's called Mondra World.
Yeah.
And so you'll get a little more of that in the original series. And so, like Dazzler and Longshot are a big, you know, couple of characters and a couple that come from the Mondra World lore. Spiral, who was in the episode, also a huge part. She's the one with the six arms. Incredible, iconic character as well. And then, of course, there is this mysterious Abscissa who is like aiding Jubilee and Roberto as they go through all of their levels and their journey.
I was like, who is this?
At first, I was really confused.
Yeah.
I was like, is that Longshot? And I was like, wait, no, it's a female. Yeah. I was like, Dazzler? And then I was like, no. And because this character's never been in the episode, the originals. And so once she explains herself and is like, oh, Mojo had multiple pairs of you.
Yes.
Like for assimilation, I was the beta and the other ones are all gone.
Yeah.
So she's the last survivor, which is like super interesting. I love that. But the added value is that Abscissa, this is the wild thing to me because they did mention at the panel that Holly specifically mentioned like during their auditioning process, Marvel mentioned very distinctly, like, well, maybe not even Marvel, the casting directors, because they didn't know, they had no idea, that they were just like, we're trying to do a voice match for all these characters. And so Holly Cho was like, okay, cool. And she got a call back because she sounded so much like the original actress.
Yeah.
And so knowing that information and then watching this new episode and then finding out that Holly did not play Abscissa as well. It was the original Jubilee from 1992.
Oh.
Allison Court played Abscissa. So their voices are so
similar.
I didn't realize they were that close. I knew they were close, but that was extraordinarily close because I honestly thought it was Holly Cho as both. I thought she did both.
Oh my god!
But she didn't. It's the OG Jubilee as the older one. I was like, oh my god, this is so good.
That's it was crazy.
Fantastic, yeah. So you know, speaking of that, for the record, is that, you know, Lenore did verify that she had to re-audition for the role.
Oh man.
Yeah, and so the funny thing is that all the newbies are going down the line and expressing like, yeah, you know, I got these slates and the names were different. It sounded really weird out of context because it's like, oh, my wife, she's pregnant. Sure. Oh, blah blah blah. You know, like, and it's the his name is like Chris.
Yeah.
You know, and he has to say like Joan.
Yeah.
Instead of
Joan. Joan.
Joan. And so that all of them are going down the line. And then Holly mentioned her thing. And then Lenore said that when she got the script, they were like, oh, you know, Disney was trying to call you. And she's like, yeah, sure, whatever. So she ignored it because she thought it was a prank. But it ended up being real. And she was like, oh, okay. And they were like, oh, we want you to audition for a show. Blink, blink.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, okay. And then she read the character description. It was like, strong Southerner who's sassy.
I wonder who could be.
And then she got her lines and then she was like, these are literally lines that I've said in the first series. So she was reading her own lines again.
Yeah.
But they just wanted to do just needed to know.
They just know like if her voice was like, you know, not as like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so all of them, at least the ones that were like dedicated to the original series, like JJ, for instance, he was like, is this Gambit? I hope this is Gambit. I really want to be Gambit. Because like, how could you?
Yeah, yeah.
A suave Cajun with a slight Creole accent. Like, you know, like, come on. And so.
Maudoir.
Yeah, exactly. Like him growing up as well. Like he was really into Gambit. So he saw these lines and he was like, oh, he says things like petit and mon cher. And it's like,
yeah.
And so by the time Lenore got it, she was like, I know this is Rogue. I'm going to do it. And she did it, and of course she came back. So I imagine they all went through the similar process.
Yeah, just to kind of.
But man, that's a fantastic callback, is to have Holly Cho as Jubilee and then Allison Court, the original Jubilee, as an older
version.
Jubilee. Yeah, so great.
Yeah.
Like iconic pairing. Really enjoyed that. So that was today's episode. So we're pretty much caught up, and so. Yeah, we're almost halfway.
There's just so much. Yeah, it's such
10 episodes,
God, it's so good.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
this is like so much depth in 30 minutes that they give you.
Yeah.
Even like for me, I don't know anything that barely anything that happened besides like the recap and everything.
Yeah.
But it's just, yeah. Wow.
Happy times for me.
It is. I can imagine. But I also love that it resurfaces, like it reintroduces this group of characters and this show to a new audience.
I love that.
Yeah.
I absolutely love
because that. I think they're smart enough to know that like oh, they know the X-Men original crowd is there. They're going to love this. And we have to respect the show enough for them.
Yeah.
But then also we have to make sure like it's easily digestible for a new audience that's gonna love it, because if they love it then that means they're gonna go back and rewatch the original.
Exactly right,
because they're gonna want to find out.
Well, it's also the best usage of an homage, right? Like there's so much complaint about like, oh, Hollywood's run out of ideas, they're just redoing and like by far, like there have been some good things that are called
some
back.
Okay stuff,
some good stuff
for sure.
But this is truly, like, even bias aside, like, I could not deny that this is the best usage of it, not only with the stories, but the cast and how it is reinvigorating the kids of the 90s while getting the kids that weren't quite familiar, as well as a completely new audience of all ages that are like, oh, I know X-Men, but I don't really know them.
But you don't really know.
Yeah.
And then, like, the more you watch, the more you realize you're like, oh, this is, like, incredibly comic accurate versions of the X-Men.
Exactly.
So now you're like, oh, okay, let me watch this and see what... Because that's what I noticed even watching the recap. I was like, oh, they're doing a lot of... like
heavy hitter,
like
stories.
Heavy hitter, and just comic accurate things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was that world they went to? Was it waste? It's a wasteland.
Oh, Savage Land.
Savage Land.
Yeah.
And I remember we talked about
dinosaurs.
And I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah.
It's a thing, and that's also like as far as Easter eggs go, like people theorize that the dinosaur land that Doctor Strange is going through with America.
Oh, that's Savage.
That
land.
It's the Savage Land. So it's like maybe. But yeah, it's so great, and I'm so happy that it's here, and I'm already sad that it's already almost halfway done. But where they had greenlit a second season, apparently they have officially greenlit season 3 today.
Like, hey,
it's officially greenlit. There's more.
There's always gonna be more. There's always gonna be more stories to tell.
I can't wait. Yeah.
Yeah, and like for it being technically a first project of Marvel Animation, freaking good. Yeah,
home run.
It looks so good.
Home run.
It is so happy. I will say it is crazy, like watching like anime shows from the 90s and then you're like, okay, like you see how it was, animations were in the 90s,
sure,
and then now you're watching like in HD, you're kind of like,
yeah,
I feel like this is supposed to be a little bit more grainy or blurry.
It's too perfect, it's too pristine.
It's freaking good.
It's so great.
I enjoy it. It's really something to look forward to every Wednesday.
Yes. So if you haven't yet watched it, you're going to miss out if you don't watch it. This is a true story. Like, definitely watch 97. If you like what you're watching, go back. Watch the OGs. And so you really have the idea of how deep the stories can get. And if you really do want some good comic lore presented in very digestible increments, you can't miss with the animated series. So, I mean, is there anything else you want to talk about? Otherwise, we're ready to wrap it up.
I mean, I think we got lucky with all the leaked news that came out today. I was like,
there's a lot.
I was like, oh, at first it was a female the Silver Surfer, and I was like, oh, okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
And then boom, it's just all Daredevil.
Yeah.
Like, oh, John Bernthal, and I'm like, what the what?
It's so crazy.
Like,
it's a good time to be a Marvel fan.
It really is because it's April now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Come July, like I said at the top of the show, once Deadpool and Wolverine like get the ball rolling,
that's gonna be so
because
good.
I feel like
woo,
yeah, because I feel like Deadpool and Wolverine might be like a soft, maybe hard reset, on a lot of things.
I agree, yeah.
So I guess we'll see where that takes us and where it ends up. Who cameos? Who makes an appearance?
Mm-hmm.
What is at stake? There's a lot going on.
Ooh, buddy.
So, yeah, it's gonna be. Exciting. Yes.
Yes. So, yeah.
But so much good stuff.
So, next up, Jeff and I have undoubtedly been on an X-Men streak.
I feel like we've been...
Like, literally three episodes
like,
worth of
not
X-Men.
Even that, but then like meeting Lenore, yes. Watching the shows,
yes,
just getting all this lore,
yeah,
cheater, you know,
cheater.
Welcome home. all this Gene talk. Gene. Oh, another funny thing I said to I texted to Di when it came to like something about Jean Grey. I was texting her. I was like, why? What did I say? Where it was just like, she's literally always the damsel in distress.
Yes.
But she's like the least.
She's the most powerful
she's
person.
She's the least damsel person.
Yes.
And I'm like, it's this girl is psychotic. I was like, there hasn't been a story,
yeah.
Movie-wise, any media-wise,
no.
Where I'm like, where it doesn't end in a good way
no.
For Jean.
No. She's like fated to be destroyed each
yeah.
And every time.
But she's the sweetest girl, but yes. She's also like the yeah. Phoenix, the rising of the Phoenix.
Phoenix.
Like, I'll never, I think I've told this story multiple times, but is the ending of X-Men The Last Stand, X3. Like, I saw that movie came out in 2007. I remember watching it, and like the only thing I could really take out from that movie was chaos going down on a bridge. It's Wolverine and Jean Grey on top of a car. Jean can't control her powers. Things are going crazy because the Phoenix is rising.
Demonic look on her face.
Yeah. And then she's like, Logan. Logan.
Yeah.
You have to kill me. No, Jean. No. No. I won't.
Fuck,
she's like,
Jensen.
You have to. Logan. Please. She's like, no, I won't. And then she uses her mind powers, and all you hear is a shing.
Yeah.
And like the claws are inside, are like, yeah. Like they stab her, and then Wolverine's just like, Jane! No! Jane!
Yeah, he's screaming at the top of his, like looking around, and there's everybody's dead, and he's
like,
just like,
Jane! And like, that's all I've, like, everything that has, like, Gene involved, whatever movie it is.
Chaos.
This is somewhere like
chaos.
Gene!
Somebody. Somebody's gonna do it. She's like, oh god. What you have to do when you go on YouTube, you should search Gene yelling Scott. And it's the same thing. But for her, she does it before she faints, and she faints a lot.
Yeah.
She's always like, Scott!
Oh,
Scott!
Yeah, she does.
Scott! Scott, Gene, Scott. It's like
I love Scott's.
God.
I love the X-Men 97 Scott Summers voice because it's
he's so good.
It's so angelic and like grandiose.
Yeah,
especially when he says to me, my
to
X-Men.
Me, my.
So whenever he says Gene,
yeah, it's like so much emotion. The voice of love.
Gene,
exactly. Sheesh. So we have been on quite the X-Men streak, but we're gonna temporarily break the combo chain and go back to some of the characters we have not covered yet. So please join us for our next episode, all about the mysterious Miguel O'Hara, also known as Spider-Man 2099.
The big buff Miguel O'Hara.
Back to 2099. Back to spiders.
Yes.
We're going back to spiders. So join us then if you have questions, comments, or suggestions for other characters you want to hear about, let us know.
Woo.
So with that, we're at the end of the show.
Woo.
Thanks for listening. And if you're watching, thanks for watching. And a special thank you to all of our Patreon supporters. We adore you. As well as a We Are Groot salute.
Woo.
To Edgar, Andrea, Ashley, Ariel, Andrew, Tyler, Melanie, Joe, Liz, Robin, Ed, Laura, Jenny, Chris, Nats, Katie, and Sherry. Follow us on social at STRKCNTRST. And if you like what you hear, please review, rate, and subscribe.
Yeah. Once again, thanks for listening. We will catch y'all in the next one.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
There are times when I think about the baby, his future, and if he's a mutant, how do I tell him he's different? That the world will remind him of it every day. That he must always be careful, always be on guard, or else...
You wish him to be born human. I have wondered what it would be like to be human. It is a tempting daydream. But then I remember how my mutant gifts brought me to this mansion, to this family, to our sister.
Thank you, Storm. Just ever since I was in Gyrick's mind, I can't shake this feeling that something terrible is coming. Boy, do I sound like a fool.
No, Jean. You sound like a mother.